Fantastic. Wonderful. So Tina is available 24/7? Well, okay, 23/7, sorry. Yeah. All right. Open your Bibles with me, if you would, this morning as we look into God's Word. To Joshua, the 6th chapter, while you are receiving your notes. You have your notes already? You don't have your notes. Okay. Anybody volunteer to be a steward today? We'll get some notes to you. I know the coffee wasn't on. All right. When you have Joshua the 6th chapter, stand to your feet by faith. I know you have a Bible, you have a iPad or a phone with a Bible on it. Stone tablets, you've memorized the whole Bible. All right, let's pray. Father, we open our hearts to you today, and we say, Lord, speak into our hearts and lives. Cause us to understand your ways and to walk in your ways and to become bold like Angelina and Tina and share our faith, Lord, when we're outside this building and deliver the word that has come to us so many times in so many ways and that package of grace that is within us that, Lord, longs to be dispensed. We pray, Father, that as we hear the word of God today, we will be strengthened by the Spirit in the inner man. Lord, we will walk out of here different today. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you today about three words. Say, Pastor, that'd be the shortest service we've ever had if you speak three words. I said I'd like to speak to you about three words. I didn't say it would be in three words. But three words. Let me just kind of reference something personal in terms of this subject as we're continuing and looking at inheritance, possession, and conquest. All of us are faith people, for the Bible says the just, and that's you. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's you. You are the just, you're the righteous. And so the just shall live by what? Faith. So that's who you are. You're a faith person. Everything in your life is underwritten by your faith. Or if it's not, it's not doing well. And so we're all faith people, and we're all learning the walk of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so that's what we've been examining in this series. And I want to reference three words from Joshua chapter 6. And let's get a few verses here, beginning with verse 7. You know the story. This is when Israel has just crossed the Jordan and they're getting ready to take on their first city of conquest, and that is Jericho. And so God gives them a strategy, and they're employed with the strategy that God gives them, and that Jericho, or rather that Joshua had spoken to them. And so verse 8 says, when Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the people, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. So he's really kind of saying in blunt terms, shut up and then shout. He says, then shout. So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the people returned to camp and spent the night. Those are the three words I want to talk to you about today. They spent the night. If you don't know how to spend the night well, you'll not do well in your faith walk. And so it's those three words, spent the night, that I want to emphasize today. God wants us all to learn how to spend the night. You know, if you are a young person, you can tend to go to bed later and try to get up later if you don't have school. But I'm sure all of us at some point, the morning has come too early. But sometimes you can find yourself where you're awake in the night and it seems like the clock is ticking half time. Anybody ever had that experience? You kind of wish it was day, especially if you have some wonderful big event on that day. But it's still dark outside and it's just still the night. And the clock can't move fast enough. But here the Bible says, the Bible records this little phrase here. And this little phrase here is important for us all. It says that God had promised them something, but there was a certain amount of time that elapsed between the promise in verse 1 of Joshua 6 and the walls falling down. And you know the story. It was 7 days. And so the Bible records this process, this strategy that God had given them. They were to circle the city with the ark and the soldiers and the trumpets, and they were to do this 7 times. And so the scripture lays out that they did it the first day, and they circled the city with the trumpets sounding. And then it says, as you see there in verse 11, then the people returned to camp and spent the night. You know, to spend something means to use up, to exhaust or consume, to use up. And the night is a time where there is decreased visibility and generally decreased activity. And so for them, this isn't just kind of the cycle of life, day, night. The Bible says they spent the night. After the first time they circled the city, they spent the night. They used up a certain amount of time. A certain amount of time had to elapse from the promise in verse 1 until the walls fell down. And of course, as you know the story, they did that 6 times. But the salient point of the message is they had to spend the night. So if you were an Israelite, just think about it for a moment. God gave you this promise. You'd heard it rehearsed through all of your ancestors and everybody in the camp, all of your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, your parents, your cousins, that you have an inheritance, that God has given it to us. Look what the great miracles God's done. And God says, I've given you Jericho. And God says, okay, but this is how you're going to take Jericho. I want you to circle it. And every night they came back and they spent the night. If you were an Israelite, you could easily say, you know, all we did was walk around this huge walled city. And everybody was quiet as possible except for those that were blowing the trumpets. We didn't say anything. We didn't have any conversation. We didn't talk about the walls. We just kind of walked around. And then we stopped all that activity that we thought might have had some significance, and we spent the night. Why didn't God just have it and do it one time, blow the trumpets, shout, boom, walls fall down? But no, they did that 6 times. And each time they finished, they came back and they spent the night. One of the most important lessons that you and I can learn in our walk of faith is how to spend the night. That time frame that elapses between the moment in which God caused the candle of your spirit to be lit with faith, to believe Him for some promise, some deliverance, some blessing, some great thing. When God gave that to you initially and the actual manifestation of it, there's a period of time. We might call that the night season. When it doesn't seem like anything's taking place and you're not doing anything. And it doesn't look like anything is happening. You have to know how to spend the night. If you don't learn how to spend the night, you will mess up. You will mess up. And I'll come back to that. Because I don't think anybody here wants to cancel any promise that God's given them. But we got some stories in the Bible that teach us that if you don't know how to spend the night and you do it wrong, you cancel out what God had intended to give you. So, God wants us all to learn how to spend the night. Some things that God has planned for us are just like that. They're instantaneous, they're immediate, they take place. Boom. I've had healings that took place in an instant. I've had those that took place over a period of time. But there are things that God requires us to spend the night. Why would God do that? Well, I think the Bible makes that clear. God is interested in our deliverance, our blessing, our breakthrough, our possessing all of our possessions, but He is most significantly interested in our inner development. It's amazing how you don't really develop so much in here if you don't have to. You get to spend the night when there is decreased visibility and there's decreased activity. It seems like repose. When I was 19, I thought sleeping was a waste of time. I was so excited about life and about, you know, doing things, and I love being outdoors and I love sport, and I just love doing, you know. And so, you know, why do you have to go to bed? You know, let's just do whatever we're going to do all the time. Well, that notion soon went away. And that's probably good it went away. You know, there's an old saying, day is for working and night is for sleeping. And yet, God wants us to learn how, in a spiritual sense, to know how to spend the night. I remember when God first began to deal with us about coming to the UK. And it seemed so unordinary, strange. My wife and our three children were in such a blessed situation. We weren't looking for any deliverance. We weren't looking for anything that, you know, would enable us to escape the hard place that we were in. We were in such a blessed place. I was working in a church that was mushrooming with a great team of people that I dearly loved. And so my fellow warriors with us, we were great friends. My children were in the Christian school. The blessing of God was on our lives. And yet, God came and began to disturb me. You say, yeah, Pastor, we know that. Not that way. But I began to be unsettled on the inside. And the strange thing was, is I didn't understand why I should be unsettled. You know, if you're distressed about something, you can feel agitated and anxious. But I had no logical reason why I should have any sort of unrest in my inner man. And this was a problem for me because I didn't understand the stirring of the Holy Spirit at that time. I thought, well, what great sin am I committing? You know, what have I done that's wrong that's making me feel this unrest on the inside? I didn't really know. And yet, with the passage of some days, it began to occur to me that this wasn't my sin that was causing me to be anxious and full of unrest. This was a stirring of the Holy Spirit. And so one day I said to Marilee, you know, I believe there's a change coming to our lives. Now, change isn't always an exciting proposition. And you can imagine how Marilee must have felt. If your life is really good, why would you want to change it? And I knew that there was some sort of big change, you know. But I didn't know what it was. So God stirred in my heart, and then eventually Marilee starts saying the same thing. She felt that same sense of stirring and that there was change coming. We didn't really have a grasp of what exactly it was. We continued doing what we were called and assigned and given to do. And the blessing was on us, but there was still this thing going on the inside. But as we sought the Lord, God directed us to prepare ourselves to receive a word from Him. And so we prepared ourselves for some prophetic meetings. And when those prophetic meetings came, we did our fasting and prayer and preparation. And we came, it was our turn, we knelt down. And the prophets came and they began to prophesy to us. And they began to draw out of us those things, those secret thoughts that had been in our hearts that we had not shared with anyone concerning our future and the very reasons why we hadn't shared them. So that was a pretty powerful moment. And the sum and substance of that word was that God was calling us to go to another place and to pastor and pioneer a church. Well, we were well known in the church there and a part of the furniture and the leadership team and so on. And so here comes a huge surprise announcement, prophetically. I mean, the pastor hasn't announced it. The prophets have. They've announced that God's called us. So, what a day of relief it was for us. In fact, as I've shared before, such peace and joy came over us, we didn't sleep for 3 days. We would just lie in bed and laugh. Say, Pastor, you're crazy. Well, that's okay. I enjoyed it. It was such a relief to know that what God had put in our heart was truly of the Lord and that we didn't have to try to persuade anybody or convince anybody at that moment that this was something from the... But it didn't have enough detail to it. God didn't say, okay, I want you to go to... I wanted Him to say, I want you to go to Southern California on the beach and pioneer a church there. That's, you know, that's kind of what I would have liked. But He probably knew I would enjoy that. No. And so, but we knew we were going somewhere. So we had this word. But it wasn't having any traction, so we thought. And every week the pastor would call me in and say, Rick, there's a church looking for a pastor in Texas, North Carolina, here, there. And the church that I was a part of was used to supplying pastors and starting churches. And I would bring home, you know, whatever he said to me, and I'd tell it to Marilee, and I wouldn't even get half of it out of my mouth. She'd say, oh, no, that's not it. I'd say, well, come on, let's, you know, Let's pray. No, no, I don't want to go there. That's too hot. That's too cold. I thought, okay, well, whether her reasoning is spiritual or not, if she doesn't want to do it, I'm not doing it. So God's going to have to persuade her if I'm going to do it. So, but anyway, God was speaking through her beyond what I realized. And so all of these opportunities that came up, and some of them, from a human point of view, looked really attractive. You know, places that had bigger buildings than this. You know, not nicer weather, et cetera. But no, that wasn't it. That wasn't it. So here we are, and we got this thing going on inside of us. We know we're going. We don't know when or where, but it's going on. And then, boom, a whole series of events took place, and we knew we were coming here. We were coming to this city. Now, from the time that God spoke to us that we were coming here and ending up here, there was a season of time where it didn't look like anything was happening. It's what you might call the night season. There wasn't any particular activity that you could point to and say, yeah, yeah, you're making motion there. That's a test. How do you spend the night from the time that God causes faith to be released from your heart and your words concerning a promise he has given you and the actual manifestation of it? I'm often reminded of Psalm 105, verse 19, where the Bible says that Joseph says the word of the Lord tried him until it came true. It was something on the inside of him. And you can imagine, he gets this incredible, amazing, powerful, prophetic dream for his life. He shares it with his dad and his brothers, and his brothers decide the best place for him is in the grave. That's a night season. So the word of the Lord is tested in the furnace of the human heart. Every night Israel had to go back and spend the night. Spend the night. And God requires us all to spend the night. In your notes there on page 4, we see a reference to Genesis 16, 1-4. The story there, you know. God spoke to Abraham and Sarah and said, I'm going to give you a son. The Bible says they were 10 years in Canaan and they had no child. The word of the Lord had come to them that God was going to give those two a child. But Sarah got impatient and she said, this just isn't happening. We've been 10 years here and no baby, no pregnancy. And you know the story. She gave her maid Hagar to Abraham. He slept with her and they had a child. Then Sarah realized, oh no, this isn't right. She takes an attitude towards Hagar, complains to Abraham. That was quite a note, wasn't it? Abraham, it's your fault. Whatever the case, she gets kicked out of the house, Hagar does, with Ishmael. And they're back to waiting for the word. Waiting for the word. You find another reference to somebody else who received a word from the Lord but didn't know how to spend the night. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, God comes to Saul through Samuel and he says, Samuel gives him some instruction. He says, I want you to do X, Y, and Z. And then he says, we'll wait 7 days. I'll come back and give you further instruction, but don't do anything until you hear from me. The Bible says that Saul waited 7 days. He didn't see Samuel coming down the road. And the Bible says the pressure had increased. The armies had gathered. So what he decided to do was he decided to take Samuel's place and make an offering himself. And so he did. Samuel turns up shortly thereafter and he says, Saul, what have you done? What have you done? I told you to wait. To wait. And you didn't wait. And because you didn't wait, you canceled the blessing. The kingdom would have been yours continually, but you canceled it. You canceled it. Because you didn't know how to spend the night. When it didn't look like anything was happening, there was decreased activity, you were required to be at rest, repose, closing your eyes, going to sleep. And you got anxious. You took things into your own hands. And you lost all the promise that would have come to you. So I just want to give you very simply some simple little keys for how to spend the night, spend that period of time between when God speaks to you or you have some promise from the Word of God that the Holy Spirit has burned into your heart, that this is the Word of the Lord to you and God's going to do this for you and that for you or the other thing for you. And so you're so full of this conviction and this sense of certainty that God has spoken to you, but there's a little period of time between then and the actual manifestation of it. That's the night season where there's decreased visibility of it actually happening with these eyes. There's decreased activity. You're required to go through some days or some period of time between when it was spoken and when it's manifested. How do you spend the night? How do you spend the night? Well, I like to suggest to you that you first of all spend the night by maintaining your focus in the Word. Whatever God's spoken to you, you've got to keep your focus on that. Because you will focus on something. You will focus on something. You'll focus on your circumstances or what isn't happening or what seems contrary or contradictory. You know, you get a promise and then it seems like things get worse. You will focus on something. And that's why at the very beginning of their journey, God spoke to Joshua in chapter 1. He says, don't let this word go out of your meditation, away from your eyes, because if you will stay with it, if you'll stay with it, you'll stay focused on the promise, what I said to you, what I promised you. I don't lie. I'm the God who cannot lie. I am the truth. You got to stick with it, Joshua. You will fulfill and see manifested everything I've said to you. And so that's vital. Nobody's going to knock on your door and take your Bible out and put it in front of your face. You got to do it yourself. In your own secret place, in your own private life, in what you do for yourself and your walk with God, you've got to take your word out. You've got to take that time to meditate. You got to go over it again. Well, I know God said that. Well, read it again. Because you want to keep that in focus right here. Because you can be sure if there is anybody on this planet who doesn't want you to open any package of God's promise by faith, it's the devil. He wants to put into your face and into your thought life everything that's contrary. Oh, but this didn't happen and that didn't happen. And look what happened to those people. This doesn't seem to be happening. It doesn't seem to be happening. It just seems one day is following another day. And if you're not careful, those fiery darts, those dark thoughts come into your mind and you can let go. You can let go. You got to maintain your focus on the Word. Interesting, another way that you spend the night season is by maintaining your worship. Did you notice that God said, I've given you this promise, this city is yours. I want you to march around the city. I want you to march around the city. I want you to march around the city. And sometimes in the night, it seems like that's what you're doing, just marching, 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 marching. But they were also to have the trumpets blowing, a symbol of worship. They weren't to say anything, do anything else, but just march and have the trumpets blowing. The trumpets kept sounding, the Bible says. The trumpets kept sounding. Exalting the Lord in your night season helps keep your faith active and alive. You know, the Bible says that God is the author and the finisher or completer of your faith. And the completion of your faith is the manifestation. So he holds you in your heart as you continue to hold on to him through the night spend. You know, last week we spoke to you a little bit about what happened with Paul and Silas. They're doing the will of God, God says. Go preach the gospel. The rulers of the city say, no, no, we forbid you. It's now against the law. There'll be no preaching in Jerusalem. Zero. They're preaching anyway. They get caught, they get beaten, they get thrown into jail. And the Bible says it's midnight. What are they doing? You think about it. They have to spend the night. And how did they spend the night? Paul said to Silas, Silas, you are the worst partner I have ever had. Why did I let you talk me into doing this? We knew it was against the law. How much of an idiot could you be? No. That's not how they spent the night. It wasn't in self-recrimination. It wasn't blaming anybody. It wasn't casting aside the calling and the mission and the promise and the burden that God had placed on their lives. It wasn't letting go of anything that God had spoken to them whatsoever. The Bible says they were praising God. We practiced this a little bit last Sunday if you were here, didn't we? Some of you don't remember, do you? Clank, clank. Well, what's the point? Why is it in the Bible? Because it tells us how to spend the night. Spend the night. You see, sometimes human logic says if there's any delay, I must not have heard. I must have made it up. It must have been self-created, self-manufactured. No, no. It's just the night. Everybody say that. It's just the night. Say it again. It's just the night. They knew how to spend the night. You know, Job 29:3, Job says this. He says, when by your light I walk through the darkness. When it's the night season and nothing seems to be happening and there's nothing for you to do and you've asked the Lord, is there something else you want me to do? And you haven't heard from him that there's anything else that he wants you to do. You're just kind of spending the night. We say, well, how do I spend the night so that when the dawn comes, it's a day of rejoicing? Job says, it's when by your light I walked through the darkness. The light in the night is the word of the Lord. The light in the night is the word of the Lord. What God has spoken to you. That's the night light. Matthew chapter 4. I'm almost done here. But I want you to grasp a very important lesson for your faith journey. Well, it was a good idea. I wrote the reference wrong, but I'll relay this, the passage of Scripture. The Bible says the kingdom of God is like this. A man plants a seed in the ground. God plants a seed in us. And he says, that seed goes into the earth and it begins to sprout. And whether the man is waking or sleeping, day and night, it's growing. It's growing. He doesn't know how, the Bible says, because he can't see under the soil's surface. But God said, I put that principle in the earth because it's the same principle I use with you. I put a seed in you. And that seed, that word, sprouts because there's life in any seed that's mixed with faith. When it's mixed with faith, you can't always, it's a mysterious element. But let me tell you, there's not a farmer in the earth who takes a seed and puts it in the ground and says, you know, I don't know if this is going to work or not. No. He knows absolutely if he puts a seed in good soil, he's going to have a crop. He doesn't doubt about it. He doesn't get up the next day and say, well, I put seed in there. What's wrong with it? Don't see anything. Next day, I still don't see anything. Still don't see anything. Well, maybe I'll just dig it up and try again. Farmers don't do that. Why? Because they operate under a certain conviction that this law will take place. And the same is with us. Sometimes you can't see in the night season, but let me tell you from the Word of God, the seed is growing. It's growing. And there's a day of harvest coming. Don't, in the middle of your night season, get out your shovel and dig it up. Stay with it. Here's another key for how to spend the night season. It's found in Psalm 119, verse 55. Psalm 119. And verse 55 says, in the night, everybody say, in the night, I remember your name. In the night. You know, sometimes in your night season, you can have a night in your night season. You have this period of time where you're going through this night season, but you actually have some days and nights. And so in the night, sometimes you're awake in the night. And when you're awake in the night, you can open your heart and say, okay, Lord, I just want to honor you. I can't see anything. It's even naturally dark in my room, naturally dark outside. And this is, seems like the night season I'm in, but I just want to honor you. I just want to praise your name. Lamentation 2 and verse 19 says, he gives us songs in the night. Songs in the night. What is the song that you sing in the night? It's not the blues. The song that you choose to sing is a song of praise. It's a song of rejoicing. It's the song of declaration. And you choose to open your mouth. And maybe you're just writing the song while you're lying there. Lord, I just want to praise you. High harvest is coming. I won't let it go. Lord, I want to praise you. Even though it's night, I know the day is coming. You sing your own song. What are you doing? You're taking hold of your inner man. and you're walking through the night season. You're spending the night maintaining your faith in Him. You're not canceling the promise. Stand to your feet today. It's also mentioned in Psalm 77 in verse 6 about songs in the night. It's easy to complain, to be negative, to walk with natural eyes. But if you're going to spend the night and you're going to obtain your Jericho possession, you're going to have to keep those trumpets sounding. Keep your worship on. Stay focused in the Word. Give thanks to the Lord. Sing your song. Now I want to pray right now for us all. Before I pray for you, I just want to say about myself in this journey that we're in. From the time that the Lord has spoken to us about the building that we're going to, there's a certain amount of time elapsed. And as time is going by, it's easy to begin to let go. But I know as sure as I'm standing here today, God spoke to us, and He confirmed His Word so many ways. So I know that this night season that I'm in and you're in and we're in together in terms of moving to our miracle location, we're going to spend the night well. We're going to spend the night well. We're not going to listen to any voice that says, oh yes, but what about? Once you start down that road, you're not spending the night well. You're enduring the night. You don't want to be one who endures the night. You want to spend the night well. And so I want to pray for you today. You're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm kind of in a night season myself and some dimension or another. I have a promise here. I have a prophetic word. I have something God spoke to me in my devotional life. Something that I've been hanging on to because I really believe with all my heart that God did speak. But there's been a certain amount of time elapsed. And that's kind of where I've been. I've been going through this night. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to resurrect my song in the night. I want to go over again and again the word of the Lord to me. Because I don't want to cancel my harvest. I don't want to cancel my harvest. I want to come out the other side and say, you know, God gave me this and this and this and this, and it came very shortly and quickly, but there was something else God gave me, and it took some time. And I know that learning how to spend the night made me a lot stronger believer. A lot stronger believer. And now I can go and talk to my friends and my brothers and my sisters. Sometimes they're in the night season. I say, yeah, I know what the night's like. I know what the night's like. T-shirt. She's wearing a T-shirt standing right here today. Night of your life. An accident. I want to pray for you today. I believe God hears my prayer, just like He hears yours. You say, Pastor, I'm in a night season. I want to pray for you today. You say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me today, and I want to signal heaven that I'm going to spend the night believing that God is still my God in the night as much as he is in the day. Same God. The promise is not light, fragile. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me today? Just raise your right hand right now if you want me to pray for you in your night. I want to pray for you tonight, today. I want to pray for you in your night season. And I believe that God will answer my prayer. He's going to cause you to spend the night well, rejoicing in Him, praising Him, singing your song, rehearsing the word of the Lord. He's going to do that. He'll do His part as you do your part. Father, you see our hands before you today, individually and as a congregation. Lord, that period of time when it seems like there isn't a lot of forward motion, progressive activity, it doesn't seem like there's any additional light that's coming. Lord, we know you're the God of the night. Because you said the day and the night are absolutely alike to you. And so as we stand before you today with our hearts and our hands lifted toward you, I ask you in the name of your Son, according to the promise of your word, that every person with their heart and hand lifted toward you will find the fresh promptings of the Holy Spirit to spend the night well, to rehearse the word of the Lord, to say it aloud, to tell others. The promises of God are always yes and amen. Yes, and so be it. Each one of us, Lord, will pick up our song and sing our song. And the angels will join us because they're with us. They'll join us in celebrating the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. Thank you, Lord. We'll have an inner life sustained by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your touch upon each one of us today. Thank you, Lord, for the harvest that we see, the manifestation that we see with eyes of faith, even as we walk through the night season. We thank you for this now, Lord. In Jesus' most precious and powerful name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Hug 9 people before you leave today.